Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome in to the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And another really big week and some different kind of Grizzlies news this week. We got to start with the biggest news being the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be playing for Team USA this summer in the Philippines in the FIBA World Cup. It's going to be one of the first times that a Grizzlies player has had a chance to go and be on Team USA. Really haven't had another person have a chance to do that in a while. And I think it's going to be good for his career too. I think it's going to be interesting to see him play with those FIBA rules. I think that's the thing I'm the most excited about, because there's a little bit of difference in the goaltending rules. There's no 3-second violation on defense. So it's one of those things to where you might get to see some really crazy stats from him. They also played a lot more through the post last year, or in the last Olympics, I mean, whenever they played in the FIBA World Cup ball. So I think there's a chance that Jaren gets a lot more involved kind of on both sides of the ball when it comes to FIBA. And I think it was a good pickup for Team USA. And just congratulations to Jaren. It's a huge honor to get selected to play for your country. And it might even put him on track to be on the Olympic team when the Olympics come around too.
Yeah. Big congrats. It was kind of, I'm going to say surprise, because I kind of not expected it, but I forgot about it, like the FIBA thing. So, and I forgot, because I remember, I forgot what episode it was. We talked about it where Kerr was talking about he wanted like Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson on the team for Team USA. So I was like, okay, well, you know, it's probably going to, something was going to happen, but I forgot about the FIBA thing. But once I saw that with him, I think it was him and they said him and Ingram were going to commit to it. So I think Jaren is like, I think they got like 6 or 7 players already on the team or that have committed, quote unquote. I think he's like one of 2 bigs. I think the other big is like Bobby Portis right now. They'll probably have Jaren play not going to say different style of basketball, but like, he's going to be, because Steve Kerr is the coach, so I'm pretty sure they're going to run more of a motion type offense. It's going to put Jaren in, uncomfortable spots, but it's going to put him in stuff that he wants to work on. We're going to talk about, obviously, his big interview he just had with Paul George, but I think one of the things he did mention on there was talking about playmaking and basically talking about like how like he wants to improve on that, and then you kind of can't really improve on that just by watching. You have to kind of go through it. So I think him being in a spot where he's not going to have to be the main guy to score. He's probably going to be more used in that Golden State type of way anyway, where you're running a lot of dribble handoffs and making reads, you know.
The Draymond Green role basically is what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, the Draymond Green role basically is what he'll be in Team USA or for FIBA World Cup. And so, you know, I think that's really good for him, obviously, because he is healthy too. Because I remember him doing it similar, like he was part of the FIBA team, but not the he didn't make the cut, but it's like when they were doing it, I think it was like his second year, but it was a while ago.
Yeah, so I remember there are some pictures of him from then, like in some Team USA gear, but he never actually made the team.
Yeah, he didn't make the team, but he was there at the camp. So I definitely expect him to really have a good season. Like, this is gonna be good for him, and I'm not gonna, like, you know, barring health, obviously, hopefully this is good that he gets an offseason to not only work on his game, but then get to try the stuff in the games, you know, have game reps with it. And also, I think it'll help him work on his conditioning, which I think is a big thing for him. Not only, and not just him, but for everybody, but for him in particular, especially if you want to go deep, make a deep playoff run, you need to be in the best shape. And I think this is going to kind of keep him in shape throughout the whole summer. Because I forgot how long it goes for, but I mean, it'll go for like a month or so. So, you know. I think it's gonna be good for Jaren. I really think he's gonna ball out, like you said, especially with the rules. I think it's gonna be a big thing for him. I'm ready for listening, because I think obviously, he's the only Grizzly we got that's gonna be playing any type of basketball. So, like, at least from obviously a roster perspective, we have Summer League, but like one of our guys,
Santi Aldama is gonna be playing for Spain.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We will get to Santi see. We might even get to see Jaren versus Santi probably in like a final, because Spain is actually ranked number 1, I'm pretty sure, right now in the FIBA World Cup rankings. Oh, so we might get, this could be interesting. Well, I'm not going to say it's quite going to be like the Kobe and Powell thing, because they're not that big of players, but I always think it's interesting whenever you take players that come from the same team, especially when it's like one is kind of like, I feel like Jaren's kind of one of Santi's mentors. So it's going to be kind of cool to see them kind of go against each other at like basically, if not the most competitive stage of basketball, like it's up there with the finals. If you if you're talking about like a finals in FIBA World Cup or the Olympics, it's the highest level of basketball you can play. So I think it's going to be good. I think it's something that can be good for Santi Aldama too. I think both of them are going to really help from this. And then I also say, just going through the rest of the team, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Brandon Ingram, Bobby Portis, and Austin Reeves. So some interest. It's an interesting team. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how all the different, like, because obviously these are all players that on their own team are basically like the first option for a lot of these guys. Like for Jalen Brunson, for Anthony Edwards, like they're basically the first option. Mikal kind of blossomed into that on the Nets. So it's going to be interesting to see how they all kind of come together. And then you also have Jaren, who is going to be the best defender on the team, obviously defensive player of the year and everything like that. But also to see how they get him involved on offense, I think it's going to be interesting, just because there's a lot of guys that can do a lot with the ball in this. And we can talk about it a little bit more when we get to the next thing, when we talk about Jaren going on the podcast with Paul George. But he talked about when he played AAU and how the teams were so good, all he really had to do was block shots. Yep. We might see some of that in the FIBA World Cup. When you got a guy like Brandon Ingram, professional scorer, Jalen Brunson, professional scorer, Anthony Edwards, like these are dudes that they score. Like that is what they do. They're scorers. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of use him on offense. I think that would be the biggest question. But we know for a fact he's going to bring everything on defense, and that's really probably where he's going to make the biggest impact.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, it's just funny because I want to say he's in his true role, but like Jaren, like he's used to this. He's used to not having to be the guy on offense, and that's not a bad thing, because I think that makes him as what the player he is now, because he's so good at doing the little stuff and things that impact winning. So you do that along with the scoring, that makes you a top tier player in the league, which is why he's on this team. It's not because he's, you know, like he's one of the best players in the league, obviously, you know, like one of the top 40, 50 names in this league, and one of his, you know, so like, and obviously the best defender, like you said, obviously being a defensive player of the year. So like for him, his game is what works for modern FIBA basketball. Like he can switch 1-5, you know what I mean? Like he can play on the perimeter on offense and play on the inside on offense. Like he does everything that you need for a big, if you're going to compete for like Olympics and stuff like that. So I'm definitely interested to see how he gets used in that whole system and whatever.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And then the other thing I'll say is, like we said on defense, there's not going to be any – I'm going to see how the FIBA rules when it comes to goaltending, if he's actually going to change his approach at all. If you don't know, in FIBA basketball, once it hits the rim, it's basically a live ball. So if it bounces off the rim, you can go up and swat it off the rim. And I feel like it's one of those things where you play basketball your whole life, like not being able to do that, even from like, because he was probably big enough to do that in high school if he really wanted to. But I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, if he actually goes through and tries to like retrain his brain to be like, that's okay. Because that's something that, like, even if you're playing on a park, like, nobody's going to do that. Like, if you do that at the park, they're going to try to kick, they're going to be like, what are you even doing? Like, they might not let you play back on the court again if you do something like that. So it's just so interesting how, like, in international basketball, that's so normal. But over here, like, doing that in elementary basketball, I mean, obviously you can't really get up there, but it's like, man, you can't do that. Like, you're trying to go up and grab the ball off the rim. Like, it's so different from what you're used to. So I think that's something that's going to be interesting to watch too. But I'm really excited that he's actually going to get a chance to go over there and play for Team USA. Like I said, it's like the biggest honor you can basically have as a basketball player is getting chosen to play for your country and everything like that. And for Team USA nonetheless, which, I mean, the expectation also, there's also going to be a huge expectations. Like, I'd say this is probably like the biggest expectations he's probably had in his career, because like, maybe it would be bigger if it was like the Olympics, but for Team USA, It's like, if you don't win the gold, it's a failure. You know, even with the Grizzlies this year, people weren't really like, people have never said like, oh, you got to win or it's a failure. Team USA, you come back with anything but the gold medal, you might as well not even come back. Like, you might as well stay over there. You don't get the gold medal. Like, that's really how people, that's how they treat the USA basketball team, man. Like, I know I was a little kid back in the day, but I remember going back and looking like those Redeem team, like before all that, like 2003, 2004, man, they were talking so bad about LeBron and Carmelo and all them boys for losing that. So, hey, look, there's going to be a lot of pressure, because if you don't get the gold, they will come after you. It's not a question. We've seen it happen before. Even last year, I think it was a couple years ago, when they lost to Nigeria in one of those like open around games, man, I'm telling you, they don't play about Team USA. This is supposed to be our sport. This is like one of the only sports that started in America. Like, you got to get the gold, man. That's just how it is. You got to get the gold.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm laughing over here. But if y'all watching on YouTube, I'm laughing because that is true. Because I, especially now with Twitter, if the first time they lose, even if they're down like 10 at halftime to like some team they supposed to beat, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be very funny. A lot of slander. I mean, it's gonna be, you know, obviously the jokes is gonna be had if they lose. But again, I don't think they will, depending on other teams. You know, obviously the roster has to be shaped out more. Like, there's not, you know, I think there's 12 spots, so they still got a few names to still get, but like, they should win. But like, yeah, I mean, I think Jaren will be fine. Like, you know, I mean, obviously there's expectation. But I mean, I think he's, you know, grown into that. I mean, obviously we're going to get into it, but like, he's ready for that. Like, I mean, it's just, I'm not really worried about him not being ready for that, that pressure. Cause he's a big dude who always says like, basically like, you know, whoever, you know, when you're in that, you know, position, much is required of you, you know? So I'm not really worried about Jaren, you know, going over there and balling. I think he's going to be fine. I'm just hoping he's healthy. Again, that's all. With any player we got, I just, yes. Santi too, please come out of this healthy. I don't care about nothing else. Just come out of this healthy. That's all I care about. Don't get hurt, please. That's all I care about. Just come out of this healthy, and everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the biggest thing too. I think that's one of the bigger concerns really when it comes to Team USA stuff, is like injuries and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, no injuries for anybody, and everybody can come out, you know, injury clean and everything like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, the rest of the world is catching up when it comes to the FIBA World Cups and everything like that. So, I mean, when you look at just all the talent in the league already from across the just the entire world, really, at this point, can't even really say a country, because you go with like Luka in Slovenia. We got Wembanyama coming over now from France. And, you know, already tons of really good guys like Jokic, obviously, in the finals, which we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But I mean, Giannis, like, you could go on and on with the international players now. So, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how all that works out. I'm really excited though. Good to have, some more great basketball in the summer. Already going to have the WNBA Summer League, just even more basketball packed in the summer. So it's just going to be an awesome summer for basketball in general. But continuing to talk about Jaren, we do have to talk about Jaren going on the podcast with Paul George, also now known as Podcast P, apparently, which I learned, which awesome name for the podcast, Paul George. That's perfect name, man.
Yeah.
Going off the Pandemic P, you know, kind of switch it up a little bit. You know, it's a little bit better like this. Maybe Playoff P too. There's a lot of different stuff. But I really enjoyed hearing Jaren on his podcast, because I feel like whenever you can get like real quotes in the media, like in media availability and after games, but you can just tell like when players go on these podcasts and they're talking to like other dudes that are like their peers, like you can just tell he seemed much more comfortable. He was more talking like he was just, you know, talking to a couple people more than, you know, talking in the media availability. So I feel like it was a little more candid. He got to be more of himself, and I think he got to elaborate on a lot more stuff. And he talked about a lot of interesting stuff. I think the first thing we got to talk about is he did talk about the Lakers series and how he feels like them getting humbled like that, and especially talking about how they lost by 40 and, you know, got beat in game 6. And that's something that's going to sit with them the whole summer. And I think it might even be one of the reasons why he's doing Team USA. It's like trying to get that bad taste out of your mouth a little bit too. But we talked about that. And then Dez went on Twitter and kind of echoed that and talked about, you know, both of them kind of feel like that they got to spin the block and everything like that and come back and come back. And he said he hopes he gets another chance at LeBron. You know, they talked about maybe he'll retire. But yeah, that's basically what he said. And, you know, I think it could be good for him too. They talked about the whole Dylan Brooks and LeBron thing too. I thought that was pretty funny. Jaren saying, you know, he's old, but they still beat us basically. And I thought that was pretty funny too. So it was a good podcast overall. So if you haven't checked that out, I would say check that one out. It is about 2 hours though. So it's definitely a commitment if you want to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I started watching it, right? Because I knew it was kind of like, I remember the announcement. I think it was a few days ago, they had announced it. I was like, okay, like I knew, because I watch the pod. Like I keep up with podcasts. Be like, they actually had some good guests on there, like for real. Like they had DeMar.
They had Asia Wilson, I know too. Wilson,
yeah, last week, yep, saw that too. Asia Wilson. So they have good guests on there. So like, and they be talking about good stuff. Because Paul's really cool. Like he's real cool, chill, and obviously his co-host are too. I will say his co-host to talk about the Lakers thing, Jackie Young. He's on Jaren's head for calling LeBron old. Because LeBron, again, it was just funny because I think him and he is a Lakers fan, so it made sense. But it was really like what Bryson said, it was funny because Jaren was like, yeah, like LeBron's like, yeah, like LeBron is him. Like he's what, like, I think he even called LeBron the greatest player, but he's like, he's old. Like, and even Paul George agreed with the sentiment. But like, yeah, he was talking about it, like just the series. And, you know, I think part of, you know, like them being humble, because I think I don't want to say got it wrong. I think he said they got beat 4-1. They got obviously beat 4-2. But even then, that just shows like he kind of like, think about it, but just it's still there in some ways, like because again, like he said, like they got done in May, like they're not used to getting, like especially when you got done in like last year, I think late May or June, I forgot when, like they got done, but like you're not used to going home this early, especially with how the last couple years have gone. So like to hear that perspective, I mean, I think even PG said it, like, what did you learn from going against Anthony Davis? And I think he said, like, big things like tendencies and things of that nature, which I think was good for him. Because, like, I know, again, people talk about the series in negative context, but, like, there were a few games where Jaren actually outplayed Anthony Davis. Like, and even though they didn't match up, like, he was showing – like, there was – for the whole team, and not just him, but for them in general, like – or him in general, like, they showed flashes of – being good. Like it wasn't like they were just bad the whole series. They didn't lose the series 4-0 or nothing. It's just they weren't consistent enough to win it. But in that, you saw flashes of the teams, and you got to think they lost to a team that made it to the conference finals, like we've been said. It's not like they lost to a team that lost in the next round and got smacked. Like they lost to a team that had one of the greatest players on it, and then probably another dude who, when healthy, arguably is as good as the defender, Jaren, and one of the best bigs in the league. And our players almost basically won that series. Maybe they win this one game here or make a couple plays here or more shots here. You're talking about a different thing. So, and again, like I said, I think it will help them out because, again, they had and not just like he said, not for just players, but just front office. Like, it's going to help them going forward because they're still feeling it. So they're going to be motivated by it, especially going into next year. Like he said, they're going to be motivated by it. They're not even going to think about, like, the outside noise about around them. More so just going to focus on, you know, they're going to be more hungry like they used to be, which I think is a good thing. I think they always, they always usually work in being like, I don't want to say the underdog, but they always work well when, I'm going to say not expectations, but just when they're a team that, you know, they feel doubted or slighted. Like that's usually how they do. And I'm not saying they can't ever be a good team when they got expectations, because there will be expectations, obviously. But just when their mindset is like, we're always slight or something, they always seem to usually rise to the occasion. So I do think it'll be good for them. Obviously, I think, like I said, for Jaren especially, I think it's a good experience to go against AD and just LeBron. And I think, like he said, he's going to learn from it. Like, it's all part of the process because we've seen it with other players before where they get in the series against these top players before. And like I think even Paul was talking about it when he had to play, like, the Miami Heat when he was back in Indiana. Like, he had to play them and go through that, and that helped him become a better player. So, you know, it's all part of the process in terms of getting better. So, you know, I think it's going to be helpful for him.
Yeah, for sure. And then just kind of getting to some of the other parts of the podcast I found interesting. I really liked how both like Paul George and Jerem have both played with Steven Adams, and then kind of hearing them kind of go back and forth and talk about, you know, how Steve-O was in the locker room and how he's brought this like sauna culture that apparently he started with Paul George in Oklahoma City. They brought it to the Grizzlies, and how like basically how Steven Adams is just like a freak of nature. And I thought that something that I thought was really interesting, they talked about how Steven Adams doesn't have like a workout plan. Like he just does his own, like the trainers don't even do anything with him. Like he just does whatever he does. And it's crazy because like, dude, the fact that they, first of all, they have that much trust in him. But I mean, when you see him just continue to come back and, you know, one of the strongest players in the NBA, I'm sure that with the rehab and stuff, they've been with him a little bit more and everything like that. But whenever it comes to like his own workouts and everything, apparently like dude is jumping in and out of the pool with weights and stuff. Like it's ridiculous. Apparently we got to see one of these Steven Adams workouts. So I don't know. I don't know if they're ever going to like do a behind the scenes in the locker room or something, but apparently they're just ridiculous.
Yeah. I think when they were talking about it, who was it? Yeah, it was Jaren. He was talking about it, but Paul George noted it. Like, one of his workouts was, like, I think he was talking about, like, a bear crawl or something like that, and it seemed like Paul George knew exactly what he was talking about. I don't, because I don't know these workouts, even though as a guy that used to work out and play, like, I don't – these workouts sound crazy. And, again, Steven Adams is a big dude, like 6'11", 7 feet. I think if I'm looking right now, it's 265, like, 270. Like, he's a big dude. So, like, he's just doing crazy stuff, and it makes sense, like – It does make sense because Steven Adams is a different type of dude, like in a good way. No disrespect to Steven Adams. He's a different type of dude in a good way, like just how he dressed, obviously how he talked, like all that, how he act. But again, that's what makes Adams him, and that's why everybody really rocks with him, because like he is a different type of dude. But he is a good dude in the same time, in the same light. So those stories were funny, especially because, like you said, when both people have played with him and the stories is kind of consistent, that kind of just shows how – or it makes it, for me, it makes it a little bit more funnier, because that dude's basically been the same dude ever since he stepped in the league, because he is like a vet now. I mean, because even though Steven Adams is like only 29, he is a vet. So like it's kind of
crazy. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of like Jaren, where they both kind of got drafted when they were still 18 years old. So I think that's the other thing about Jaren, is like you look up, he's younger than somebody like Austin Reeves, who's going to be on the USA team with him. But he's got like 3 more years of experience on him. And it's just like stuff like that, that is kind of the same with Steven Adams, just because he got drafted so young too. But I thought that was really interesting. Another thing that I thought was interesting that they talked about was Jaren was talking about how he got a lot of his time in off of like 2K, and talking about how one of the reasons he's been able to develop touch was because the only thing his dad made him do was shoot hook shots and threes. He gave a little bit of insight of like what it was like growing up with an NBA father and kind of how he helped him and stuff like that. But I really think the best part to me was when he was kind of talking about the AAU stuff and talking about like some of those stories. And then the other story that was really funny was apparently that man had downloaded a pirated movie, and they had the FBI call on him when he was like in middle school or something, which that just is the most middle school thing that could happen. Cause like, honestly, that sounds like something that would happen to me. I was like, oh dude, I just thought this was Netflix. Like, I don't know. And yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And then talking about like his mom, like, okay, but you got Scandal on there. Like, I thought that was pretty funny too. So there was like, if you haven't seen it, it was a really good episode. And then I thought Jaren, you know, I thought he was like a really good interview. So, I mean, if Jaren wants to ever come on this podcast, it sounds like he'd be an awesome interview, man. So,
please. Yeah, please. No, I agree. I think it kind of, when hearing some of the stuff in the Jaren interview, it made me realize, like, it made a lot of sense. Like, even he said it. Like, with his dad working, telling him to work on threes and layups, or threes and hooks. Because that's literally his game. Like, I'm not trying to say that's, like, all he do. But offensively,
it's most of what he does.
Yeah, and I know people think that's like a bad thing to some degree, and where he was talking about like, oh, I've never been a leading scorer, but I think that's the what made him what he is now. Like, that's why, like, his dad saw the vision before he saw the vision. Like, because, again, mind you, he had him, what, because Jaren's what my he's like 23, so he had him. He's born in like what, let me see, 1999. So basically, his dad was already seeing the vision to some extent, like how the game was going in terms of like, okay, like I'm not saying like his son, like he didn't see, I don't know if he saw his son being a big man, but just he knew like, hey, if he can has good touch and he can make threes, he at least got a baseline right there. Like he kind of saw the vision, and now that's what Jaren does. Like he's really big on being a modern big, being able to play inside out. So that kind of made it sense. And then obviously like the scoring thing, I think also kind of made sense because this is the most scoring like he's really ever had to really do. Like when you really think about it, like from when he was young, like he said, he never really had to score on these other teams. Not saying he was averaging like 8-7 points a game, but like he's always been more of a guy that's averaged probably 12-14 points a night. Even if you go to his Michigan State days, he only averaged like 11 points. Like, and I think even in high school, you go look and that, because I think that's kind of the thing with him. He's never been in that role. So I think, which is not a bad thing. I think now he's getting used to it, but I think that's a good thing now that he's, because now you're basically having a player who's, like I said, does all the little things. And now you're starting to get a guy that could score the ball like that now. And I'm not going to say, before people hear me out on this comparison, I'm not saying he's him, but it's kind of the similar thing with how Kawhi kind of developed, in the sense of Kawhi never was a big scorer his whole, like you go look at all his like years, especially early San Antonio, he's only averaging like 8-10 points, and even before that in college he only had like 15, so he was never a big scorer, but those guys had to kind of grow into that and were forced to grow into that because of the situation they were in. And they obviously Kawhi eventually became what Kawhi is, but I'm not saying Jaren will be that, but I'm saying he's getting more comfortable in being in that role and position. And so I think that's really going to be big for him. And it made a lot of sense as to why. Because, like, when you're on those big teams, like, it's like all-star teams, like, for real. So, like, he didn't have to do much scoring-wise. So I think it was really interesting to hear all that play out.
Yeah, he said there were some games where he didn't even feel like he went across half court just because they just kept getting steals and everything that. And you're about 30, 40 points. And then he's just out there trying to get blocks at that point. And I was like, I just think that's really interesting that – you get a guy that's averaging the most points he's ever averaged in his entire life when he gets to the NBA. Like, I know that the games are longer and everything, but I just think it's funny, you know, how things kind of develop and he's become so much of a better scorer. And it's almost like he's learning that he can score at this level. Like, as we are watching him and we're, like, figuring out what he can do on offense, like, you're seeing him kind of learn what it is he can do. But the last thing we do have to talk about, I know we got a lot of stuff in about Jaren and everything like that, is the NBA Finals. Because I know this isn't Grizzlies related, but everybody's been watching the Finals. Game one was really interesting. You know, Nuggets came out, won by like 20. Well, I guess it was less interesting than game two, obviously. But I think it's always funny how the series works, how somebody will come out in game one and everybody would be like, oh, it's a sweep. And then now everybody's back on the Miami bandwagon now that it's back tied to 1-1 after game two. But my official prediction was going to be Nuggets in 6 or 7 before the series started. I just think the Nuggets are a better team, like overall. And with the way Jokic is playing and the way that Jamal Murray has been playing as the second guy, and then Aaron Gordon, like Aaron Gordon's been playing really well. And just like a really good supporting cast around Jokic. It just seems like everything for them was firing on all cylinders, kind of going into the postseason, you know, sweeping the Lakers. I didn't think they were going to sweep the Heat. I saw some people saying it was going to be Nuggets in 4. I never really thought that. But I probably would have said Nuggets in 6 or 7, most likely, just for my prediction. And nothing I've seen in the first two games really is going to change that. I still think the Nuggets are just the better team overall. I always knew it's going to be a lot tougher now because they don't have home court. I think that Denver home court advantage is really important because you have the extra altitude bonus as well. But like, it's not going to be easy to beat Miami in Miami. And, you know, Gabe Vincent was playing really well in that game too. They've kind of revitalized a little, some of their role players that kind of struggled during the regular season, I've turned it on, like Max Strus and Duncan Robinson. And like I said, Gabe Vincent, like all these guys that were kind of up and down in the regular season, I've really just turned it around in the postseason and are playing their best ball at the right time. And, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo doing it too. So I think it's going to be a fun finals. Like I said, I'm taking Nuggets in probably 6, maybe seven games. But I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than some people were saying.
I forgot what they were saying in terms of on the pod. Who was it? It was on the pod because they were talking about it on the pod. Paul George, you know. I think he might have called it. Like, it was like a split. And personally, I think for me, I thought Nuggets were going to go up 2-0. But I do think Miami did play a really good game in game two. But I think for me, I still got Nuggets in like, let me think. Probably five or six I had before the series. And I think probably, like you said, it probably closer to six or seven at this point. Because I think, again, like you said, with the home court, for me with the Nuggets, it's kind of like now they kind of have to – their role players, I'm going to say been shaky on the road, but they've kind of been in the sense of like MPJ and Aaron Gordon have kind of basically been the guys that have been in question on the road in terms of previous other series. So I think that's kind of be the big thing, especially with MPJ, is how he's going to be able to bounce back from the game that he just had. But I think, again, I think the margin of error for the Nuggets kind of still being, because that's the thing with Miami. Like, Miami has been a team that's really been really, like you said, they role players have been revitalized. That's why this is, like, such an anomaly in a way. Because the reason why I say that is, like, a lot of these guys weren't getting a lot of time in the regular season. A lot of these guys weren't making as many shots. So they, like, Caleb Martin was averaging like 20 in the conference finals. Like, that's just an anomaly in itself. And that's not in disrespect. Like, this is a special run. But I think that's the thing that, like, they had a lot of things go right for them that game, too. And so for me, it's like, can they keep that going? Like, their margin, I always say it. You know, I've been saying this. If y'all listen, a margin of error. I always use margin of error because that's how you go have to go off things. Because if this thing goes wrong, can you combat that or can you overcome it and compensate for it in other ways? And when I think about game two, I think the Nuggets had a lot of things go wrong for them, and then Miami had a lot of things go right. And that's not saying Denver's not going to, you know, just all of a sudden just go come and win these both games, but I think they should still feel good in that sense is because they are best player. I mean, he had uncharacteristic turnovers. The whole team did. They had a few undisciplined fouls in game two. Like, I think KCP fouled Gabe Vincent and somebody else on three-point shots and gave him three free throws. Like, little stuff like that. And then they had miscommunications and gave up, like, 10 straight points down there to Duncan Robinson. Like, it's little stuff that they had. I think even KCP touched on it. I saw a little clip today. They played a bad game, and they almost still won it. And I kind of agree.
I mean, yeah, they were Jamal Murray, you know, making that shot away from it going to overtime. Which, yeah. For Jamal, the way he's been playing, that's a good look, too. For a lot of guys, that's a bad shot. For him, that's a good look right now. Like, it almost went down. Like, it was a really good look. So, like, I see what you're saying, like, with the margin of error and everything. And I think part of the reason why the margin of error is so low for them, or is so much, like, higher, I feel like, just overall, is because of freaking Nikola Jokic. Like, the way that dude has been playing, especially – like, he can either go for 40 or he'll just have a 25-point triple-double, you know, based on kind of how he's feeling that day and kind of how, you know, kind of how the flow of the game goes. I think that is something I think was interesting, too, was that the Heat did a lot better job in that game, too, of making Jokic be the only one that was really doing anything. And I'll always say, and I think it's, like, basically the basic takeaway you can take from any time the Nuggets are playing is you can let Jokic get points or you can let him, like, get the assist. You can't let him do both. If he's going out there and he has one of those, like, 25-point, 13-assist games, you're probably going to lose. If he goes out there and has 40 and then doesn't do as much in, like, the assist department, you might have a better chance. Or, you know, if he just has an off night and he's just passing a lot more, you also have a chance. But you can't let him have one of those, you know, 32, 10, and 13. Like, you can't let that happen. That's really kind of what Miami did. I think they did a good job of slowing down everybody else. Because, Jokic's been playing awesome, but then, like, Jamal Murray was averaging 30 a game in the Western Conference Finals. Michael Porter Jr. has had his moments. KCP has had his moments. Aaron Gordon had that crazy beginning to game one of the finals where, you know, first finals game ever, and he just came out, you know, and really set the tone. So it's like there's a lot of these guys that have been really important to the team, and they kind of took them away in game two and kind of made it all be on Jokic. And Jokic is so good that they still almost lost the game. Miami still almost lost when that happened. But I think it just shows that overall, I think they have a better team. Their team is constructed a little bit better. They don't have the injury concerns that kind of the Heat have had, even with the guys that are healthy, because we, you know, Jimmy's been dealing with some stuff and everything like that as well. So I think like the Nuggets are probably the safe pick. The Heat, I feel like, are kind of like the America's team kind of thing going on, where everybody's kind of cheering for them because they're kind of the underdog. They came in the 8 seed, they were to play in and everything. So it would be an awesome story if they ended up winning. And I don't want to, I just to be clear, I don't have a rooting interest in any of these, either of these teams. I think that either of these teams winning would be an awesome storyline for basketball. Somebody's going to win their first finals MVP, regardless of what team it is. And just continuing of not, I don't know if it's really passing the torch to the young guys, but kind of passing the torch to some of the new veteran guys. Cause, you know, Jokic isn't really a young guy anymore. Jimmy isn't really a young guy anymore. But, you know, Steph, LeBron, and KD were basically just winning, and Kawhi won basically every finals MVP for like, it felt like, what, 7 or 8 years? So it's kind of like this new group is finally getting a chance to kind of make their mark when it comes to final stuff. So whether it's Jokic, whether it's Jimmy Butler, who ends up getting finals MVP, whether it's the Heat or the Nuggets, I think it'll just be awesome. Especially for the Nuggets, it will be their first ever in franchise history. And, you know, that'll be cool for them too. So I really don't have a rooting interest in this. Like I said, I'd probably go with the Nuggets just from a basketball standpoint, who I think is going to win. But I mean, it's very possible that Miami wins this series too. Like, I would not be surprised at all if they ended up coming back and winning it. Well, not really coming back, but if they ended up winning this series.
Yeah. Like you said, in terms of, to get back to what you're talking about in terms of the game plan, like, yeah, I forgot to mention, yeah, they want to make Jokic a score. I know if y'all saw Eric Spoelstra's thing where he was talking to, I think it was Ramona Shelburne, and he's talking about untrained eye. He was just trying to give credit to, he knows that he can't, he don't want to give bulletin board material to the Nuggets. Like, he know he don't want to do that. That was their game plan. Even Steve Kerr said it. Their game plan was, we're going to make Jokic a score and basically take everybody else out of rhythm. Because like you said, with them, Jamal Murray's kind of their engine. Like, you know Jokic's going to do his thing, but you don't want to let Murray get off. So they did that. And I will say, them making an adjustment with that, also putting, I think, who was it, Kevin Love in the lineup. Like, they did a few different things that worked out for them. And obviously, again, for them, it's just about making shots and not turning the ball over and then making Jokic score. I think it was, like, their main three things for them to really have a chance and really win. Because, like you said, they could still win. Like, they could win this. Like, I know folks not thinking they can, but, like, they've done the most impossible thing. Like, they're the second 8 seed to make the finals. Like, when you can't just discredit them in terms of them winning this whole thing. Like, it'll be fun. Like you said, to your point about this being like a new passing of the torch, it's more so just parody. Like, this will be, I think there was a stat, it was like a week or two ago, I saw it. Basically, this is the third or fourth time where like a different team, like the 6th or 7th year in a row, has won it. And the last time was like that, it was like the 70s or 80s. Like, it was something like that. Like, some stat where we hadn't seen that. Cause usually, like you said, it's usually either the same team or same player winning it 5 out of 8 years, or, you know, 9 out of 10 years. Like, that's usually how it is. Like you said, it was like Steph, it was like LeBron, it was like Kawhi here, then like a Giannis here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was different. You know what I mean? And so now you're kind of seeing that age, because now the league is, like I always said, the league is the most talented it's ever been now. So, like, how you build teams and how your teams are going to be is totally different. Now, I'm not saying you now, again, with Miami, they're an anomaly. Just because teams are more competitive, you still need to be more like the Denver-type teams where you're winning a lot more in regular season. Like, regular season still matters. But I'm saying, like, there's a lot of teams that can win it. Because, I mean, people had Denver as a contender, but people didn't really, like, believe in them like they should have been, when they clearly showed they should have been believed as a contender the whole time. But, like, again, like, I wouldn't be surprised if next year another different team wins it. Like, that's how close the league is with talent. Like, you can't just win having one good player. Even though it's a player-driven, like, your stars drive it, you need to build full teams now. Like, Denver has a good team. Like, Miami has a good, solid team. You have to have all that, like, good coaching. Like, all of it matters. You can't have anything that kind of lacks. And if you do, you have to be able to compensate for it. So I think this is what it is, parity. And, I mean, I'm here for it. Ben said parity is good for the league, especially when you've seen other leagues have parity, like for example, like an NFL, where usually it's hard to repeat in that. And obviously for them, that has worked. And I think it will work for the league now because, you know, for the NBA, it's because this league is so full with talent. Like, Jokic, like, again, like, he's a new player. Like, I have no rooting interest in this. Like, I picked Denver, but I'm not going to be mad either way. Like, I'm a hoop fan. So, like, I love this. Like, some teams going to win. Like, some people are going to win their first championship. Like, that's dope. Like, it's either going to be the Nuggets, who have been in their first finals, or it's going to be Jimmy winning his first ring, Bam winning his first ring, Spo going to win, like, what, his, like, what, third or fourth ring. Like, he's going to be, like, these guys are going to win. Like, you know, like, it's going to be new. It's going to be new. And, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good for the league, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I like what you said about the parity thing, too. And I think the talent in the league is definitely at an all-time high and everything like that. And I think you're just going to continue to see that. It's going to be really interesting. I know people have been talking about maybe the NBA expanding. I think it will be interesting to see what happens after that, because I think the parity after that would just be even greater, you know, because they're only going to let you probably protect like 6 or 7 guys or 7 or 8 guys. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens with that. But yeah, parity's at its best. And I think, I mean, you got a 1 seed playing the 8 seed, and it's not the first round, it's the last round, it's the finals. Like, that's usually like a first round matchup. So it's just anybody can really make it now at this point, especially with like the 3-ball being so important now. You got teams that, you know, if you get hot for a couple games in a row, you might be able to pull an upset and kind of stuff like that. But yeah, awesome finals. I'm very excited to see what continues to happen with that. And we're going to keep talking about it as it keeps going on, as well as the other Grizzlies news that we're going to be coming out over the next week. But that's all for this week's episode of the Next Gen Podcast on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. We will see y'all on the next one. I'm your host, Bryson Wright. And for Alex Winton, we'll see y'all later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.